There are times of difficulty in our life. And it's just, I know, Brother Ross, you're better at this than I am in a big way, but this is the first year I've ever really gotten involved in politics, if you will. I have a guy in our church that ran for a state representative in our area, and he invited me to a Lincoln dinner. I'm doing some of those kinds of things, and maybe it's because of that and the election season coming up. You look around a little bit more, and I tell you, sometimes you can get depressed. Ahmadinejad and the UN telling the problem with our world is the United States of America and the Jewish Zionists, and we need a new world order. I think about our president this week stood up at the UN and said that no one should ever blaspheme Muhammad. And you just wish sometimes they'd say that about Jesus Christ, but it's not as politically expedient. Greece and Spain are having riots. Our dollar is being weakened. It seems like our moral compass is gone in our country. The Packers were robbed of a win on Monday Night Football. Just bear with me while I preach, all right? A little lady in our church, an older lady, she's almost 82 years old now. She's kind of the grandmother, if you will, of our church. When I first came there, her husband was on her deacon board, and just a few families, and every family was on the deacon board. And he came to me, and he said, "Listen, Pastor, if there's anything you need passed, you let me know, and I'll bring it up, and we'll get it passed for you." Not that I needed a lot of things run through, but as a young kid preacher just out of college, I needed somebody that was willing to catch the vision and stand behind me. And he's passed away. I had prayed, "God, give me 5 years," and I got 4 years with him. But this little lady, matter of fact, she's taken care of our kids for many years. We'd have to go somewhere. She'd watch the kids, and she made it through breast cancer. And just the most positive spirit you can imagine. She would clean the church every single week, and backed off from that. But then she started folding our bulletins for us. And during her chemo, I said, "I'll keep those." She said, "Don't take that away from me, Pastor. I want to be involved." I called her today to get some updates for our prayer list and to leave some notes behind. And I said, "Edna, how you doing?" And she's going in for heart catheterization on Monday. And she said, for the first time, I think, in the whole time I've been pastor, she said, "I'm not doing too good." You know, someone like that that's close to you, sometimes we need to be reminded of what Job was reminded. Now, of course, his situation was a little more difficult than any situation prayerfully will ever face. You know the story of Job. In one day, he lost 5,000 yoke of oxen. In our vernacular, that'd be the tractors to put the crops in. He lost 7,000 sheep. In our today's terms, that would be our commodities, what we trade and sell. He lost 3,000 camels. That would be the transportation to get things to and from market. He lost, of course, his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, all in the space of one day. And, of course, he was also afflicted physically. And then he had some friends that, for a while, were smart. The Bible says they just didn't say anything. You know, sometimes it's the best thing to do is just to be there and not say anything. And just your presence can be a comfort. But, of course, they all graduated from Bible college, praise the Lord. They all had the answer, and none of it was Bible. But they began to share with Job, and it wasn't too much of an encouragement. But let's jump into Job chapter 19 and look at verse number 1. "Then Job answered and said, 'How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?'" Can I say, friend, our words truly hurt. And by the way, our words truly help. But Job said, "Your words are hurting me." Verse 3, "These 10 times, if you reproach me, ye are not ashamed, that ye make yourselves strange unto me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me, and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me, and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." I notice Job's cry. First of all, he's crying for the Lord. "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. He hath stripped me of my glory. He hath taken the crown from mine head." Look back at verse number 7. "Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." Job here, as he cries to God, and some things are happening in his life, and it just feels like, "God, are you listening?" You ever felt that way before? Something takes place, and you look around, and you cry, and maybe you feel like Job. Look down again at verse number 10. "He hath destroyed me on every side." Now, this is how Job felt. "And I am gone, And my hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. He said, God, it feels like you're fighting against me. Now, what God was doing was growing Job, but sometimes that growth involves difficulty. Maybe sometimes a student feels like, that teacher has it out for me. Hey, no teacher comes to class and says, I want you to fail. They all want you to pass. They want you to do well. But in order to do well, you must grow and learn. And verse 12, Job said, his troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He cries out and he says, God isn't hearing. Verse number 13, he hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. He's crying out to God, and it's as if God doesn't hear him. He said, I cried out to my friends, and it was as if my friends didn't want to have anything to do with me any longer. My kinsfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. Verse 15, they that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I notice he cried for God. He cried for his friends. He cried for his servants. He looked around and he said, even these people that I've paid, that have lived in mine home, that I've provided their food and their clothing, they look at me and I'm as a stranger. That word alien means like from a foreign country, all right? Not somebody from Mars. But they said, I'm an alien in their sight. Verse 16, I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. He said, I've looked around. God, it seems like, won't hear me. My friends won't hear me. My servants won't hear me. By the way, look, if you would, at verse number 17, my breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body, he said, my wife at this point won't even talk to me. She doesn't understand. When I remember, his wife said to curse God and die, and Job, is it worth it any longer? You talk about somebody that was all alone. Talk about somebody that had a burden on their heart and, of course, a massive burden. You face a burden. It could be a health concern or a financial concern or a difficulty that you're facing, and you have a burden as well. And Job faced an incredible burden. He said, I cried to God, and it seemed like he didn't hear me. I cried to my friends and my family, even my own wife. It just seemed like I was all alone. Verse 18, yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. Even in the community, people wouldn't stand with him or help him. It just seemed like everybody was against him. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. He's dealing here with his health trouble that he's facing as well. Verse 21, have pity upon me, have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Hey, isn't there somebody that cares? Isn't there somebody that understands what's taking place? Isn't there somebody that has a little bit of concern? Look at verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. I see the concern of Job. He said, I want others to know what I'm facing. Now, I can tell you they were printed in a book. Amen. We have that tonight. And verse number 24, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead and rocks forever. Can I tell you something that's greater than a pen of lead and a rock? And that's God's word that is settled forever in heaven. Job said, I wish this was written down. And of course it is. We get to read it. But he said, I wish my life could be used as a testimony. And here's why. He's going to give you his assurance here in just a moment. He said, I'd like this recorded forever. Here's my cry. Everybody's forsaken me. My family, my friends, my servants, loved ones, kinfolk, they're all gone. I wish somebody knew how I felt. But there's one thing I know. And I want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about the conviction of Job in verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. We notice quickly the confidence of Job. Everything was falling apart, but Job knew that his Redeemer was still living. It's good for us to be reminded that our Redeemer still liveth. All the way back from Adam and Eve, when there was an innocent lamb that was slain, the Messiah was prophesied and talked about. And as Job looked forward to the Redeemer coming, he knew the Redeemer lived. We today look back to the Redeemer and we understand that our Redeemer still liveth. Job said, my friends may be gone, but my Redeemer liveth. My servants may be gone, but my Redeemer liveth. My family may be gone, but my Redeemer liveth. My health may be gone, but my Redeemer liveth. I may feel alone, but one thing I know, my Redeemer liveth. Can you relate to Job? Job faced sickness. He faced financial loss. He faced relationship struggle. He faced death. You may be sick tonight, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Should be the cry of your heart. You may be in financial loss, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Maybe a relationship struggle, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Maybe a funeral, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. It could be Ahmadinejad in a new world order that he's trying to pronounce, but I'll tell you tonight, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It could be our president that says that no one should ever blaspheme the prophet Muhammad, who is a false prophet. But I'll tell you tonight, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It could be that Greece and Spain are having riots, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. It could be that our moral compass is gone in our country, but I know that our Redeemer liveth. It could be that the Packers were robbed of a win on Monday Night Football, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hey, Edna, can I tell you tonight, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job was looking forward to the Messiah coming, the Redeemer coming, the Redeemer of mankind, the one who paid the penalty for sin. He was looking forward. As we look backward, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew the Redeemer was alive, and I'm glad we can sing tonight. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. We may live in a world that's falling apart, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. There may be some burdens, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Drugs and alcohol may be rampant, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Sin may be prevalent, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hey, the nursing home may become a reality, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. You may be stuck on that diet, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. It may be car trouble. It may be people have disappointed you, but I sure am glad that we know tonight that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Little boy was praying. Before he went to bed one night, and he said, "And dear God, take care of yourself, because if something happens to you, we're all in trouble." You know, that's the reality tonight, isn't it? I know that my Redeemer liveth. By the way, look, if you would, at verse number 25. I like this. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." John 6:39, the Word of God says, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me should I lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day." Job was looking forward to that day when the Redeemer would stand upon the earth. I know this week you heard about the second coming, and we think about, first of all, the rapture. And that's the next event on the calendar. And it may be, by the way, we may get upset at Ahmadinejad, but God could be using him to get things in order so we can go to heaven. I don't know about you, but that would be a blessing. And just not today. But not really. Bill Burr, you remember Bill Burr, the big singer? He'd preach about heaven until he had a heart attack and he was wanting to stay here on earth for a while. But we think about the opportunity we have to come. Coming again. What a blessing. Hey, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening. We'll be soon looking forward. You may be sick, but I'm glad that you can say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and will stand at the latter day upon the earth." You've heard these scriptures, but let me read them. Revelation 19:11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." How many know how to ride a horse? Better learn soon. Hey, this may be election season. Ahmadinejad may be talking about a new world order, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Our president may say that no one should blaspheme the name of the false prophet Muhammad, but I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Greece and Spain may be in riots, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. moral compass may be gone in our country, but there's one thing I know, Brother Ross, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. The Packers were robbed of a win on Monday Night Football, but I know that my Redeemer liveth and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Dear Edna, I know that my Redeemer liveth and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I love that thought. You know, in John chapter number 4, Revelation deals with heaven, we know that. The sights and the city. But in John chapter number 4, when John is called up to heaven, he doesn't talk about the pearly gates yet. He doesn't talk about some of the beauty and splendor of heaven yet. He says, I saw the throne and him that sat upon it. Hey, can I tell you, one day we're going to realize this life is all about Christ. It's all about Christ. I don't know what Job was seeing as he sat in what's described many times as a dung heap or a heap of ashes. I don't know what Job was seeing. We do know he looked around, his friends were gone. His family was gone. His house maybe was foreclosed. I don't know. All his possessions were gone, sitting there. Can you just imagine Job lifting up his eyes and saying, God, I'm going to see you one day. Hey, I don't know what your burden is, but I sure am glad that my Redeemer liveth. And I'm glad that one day he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. By the way, every knee will bow. That means Ahmadinejad. That means every liberal, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far to go with all this, brother, but you can go a long ways with this. But that means all the liberals, you take Hollywood, hey, listen, they're all going to have to bow their knee. They may deny God now, but one day they will bow their knee. He will stand at the latter day upon the earth. I hope you're looking forward to that. And Job said, not only that, but I'm going to see God. That's what our life's all about. Fanny Crosby, the blind songwriter, I think wrote over 8,000 hymns. Blessed Assurance, Redeemed, Rescue the Perishing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. But she wrote the hymn, When My Life's Work Is Ended, you know the song, and I cross the swelling tide. When the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the high. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. And our parting at the river, I recall, to the sweet vales of Aden, they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior. First of all, through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white. He will lead me where no tears shall ever fall, and the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior, first of all. You may be sick, but I shall see God. You may be in financial loss, but I shall see God. You may be in relationship struggle, I shall see God. It may be in a funeral, but I shall see God. It could be that Ahmadinejad is talking about a new world order. But listen, friend, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And I shall see God. It could be that our president is saying that no one should blaspheme the Prophet Muhammad. But I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And I shall see God. It could be that Greece and Spain are having riots. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And I shall see God. It could be that the moral compass in our country is gone. But friend, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I shall see God. It could be that the Packers were robbed of a win on Monday Night Football, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I will see God. It could be, Edna, you are having a rough day, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I will see God. Hey, can I tell you, friend, it's not time to put up or back up or shut up. You know the time for us as Christians? It's time for us to rise up, to lift up our voice, and to let this sin-sick world not discourage us, but cause us to put eternity in perspective. The next time we're hit with that news, and I hesitate sometimes, Brother Ross, to preach on this, because I know I'm preaching to older folk that have been through some terrible tragedies. But it's time for us to grab Job chapter 19 and verse number 25 and to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He will stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I will see Him.